Good evening, everyone. We're going to get this meeting started. It is Monday, September 9, 2019. We're going to begin at 5:30, and we are at the Community Center, Sierra Room, 851 East Williams Street, Carson City, Nevada, and this is a Carson City Cultural Commission meeting. And now we're going to do a roll call.
Chair DeNeo, Vice Chair Ramirez, Commissioner Aban?
Present.
Commissioner Bugley? Commissioner Present. Leva? Mm-hmm. Commissioner McBride?
Present.
Commissioner McCormick?
Present.
McCormick's present.
Thank you. So we're going to go on to agenda item number two, public comments and discussion, a 3-minute time limit. The public is invited at this time to comment on and discuss any topic that is related to or within the authority of the Carson City Cultural Commission. In order for members of the public to participate in the Cultural Commission's consideration of an agenda item, the Cultural Commission strongly encourages members of the public to comment on an item during the item itself, subject to a 3-minute limit. No action may be taken in a matter raised under public comment unless the item has been specifically included in the agenda as an item upon which action may be taken. Are there any
public... Thank you, Vice Chair Ramirez. I think we do have one public comment here tonight.
Okay.
Hello. I'm Paul Hello. Young with Shoe Tree Brewing here in Carson City. And me and my bartender hatched up this idea, and I kind of referred him to Mark. We're working on commissioning a sculpture of an actual shoe tree that we'd want to have out at Burning Man and have people during Burning Man hang up shoes, like write messages of love and stuff on them, and then we would shellac it and then do a permanent art install. And so I originally reached out to Mark to just see if there's any grant money or anything we could use to pay the artist we would commission to do it. So that's about all we're at. But he said, actually, there's a meeting next Monday, so can you swing by? And I said, absolutely. So thank you.
Thanks for stopping by, Paul. Just learned of this the other day. It's a fantastic, another fantastic example of a local business interested in participating in the arts. I'm certainly going to direct Paul to the Nevada Arts Council, or State Arts Agency, but just kind of want to plant the seed among us to see if there's a possibility for crossover with some of our municipal funds towards public art. We'll see. I'll keep you updated on our conversation.
Great. Well, any other comments?
So the Celebrate Culture mini grants might help your cause.
Okay.
But get the information, the guidelines, and how to apply for that, especially when you get more plans on paper, so to speak.
Absolutely.
And you could probably bring that forward to us, and then we could consider that, depending on what funds are available at the time you come. The sooner the better, probably.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah, we're working with the reach out to the generator in Reno, and they referred us to an artist named Andy. So we're getting in and go, hopefully meet with them soon.
Okay, great. Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
Paul, the information that you collect for this grant, you could also use for the Nevada Arts Council grants.
Oh, okay.
They have some also.
Okay.
So if one didn't work, you wouldn't be starting from scratch.
I could use the same info. Okay. Sounds awesome. I appreciate your guys' time.
Thank you for coming.
Thank you, Paul.
So moving on to agenda item number three, for possible... Sorry.
Sharon Ross with Capital City Arts Initiative. Thank you, Luby. Want to let you know we are very excited to open our fall exhibition, Saludos Amigos, with Justin Favala from Las Vegas. And he will be here installing the exhibition starting September 30th, and it opens on Friday, October 4th. And we want you all to come at the courthouse. And he will be doing talks at three of our local high schools about his work before the installation starts, because once he starts installing, that's it. There's 3 days left to see Graphically Defined, which is the WNC exhibition at the BRIC, with 17 WNC students. And when that show comes down, we're going to be putting up Constellation, and there's a reception for Constellation on Friday, Friday, September 20th from 5 to 6:30 at the BRIC, and this show will have work by 9 UNR students, BFA students from the university in Reno. And thank you to our board and to Glenn for all the help installing and curating. And thank you.
Sharon, this room looks fantastic.
Oh.
And I was here for the reception. There were a lot of people. The seats were filled. Yeah.
We did. It was good.
Thank you, Sharon. And our students from the LIFNA cohort will be coming to help out with your upcoming event.
Yay. Thank you. If anybody wants to help install, it's a treat to work with Justin. He is off the charts amazing, and he's hilarious and brilliant. So let me know. You can come help do pinata paper.
Thank you, Sharon. Anybody else? Okay. All right, so now we move on to agenda item number 3 for possible action of the adoption of the agenda as presented.
There are two items that I'd like to change or alert the board of some updates. For item 5A, Fred Howland is not present here tonight. Instead, we have Deborah Foster and Dana Childs, represented by the Arts Association. And then for your consideration, 7A, which is my bi-monthly Arts and Culture Coordinator Report, I would like to put that in between 6A and 6B, because I think that the report of the past 2 months will help the Commission's decision on item 6B. I think just added information, I think it would be enlightening and helpful. Those are my two. Is that fine? Okay.
Yes. All right, very good. So moving on to agenda item number 4.
I have one other thing.
Yes.
On item 6, it should be the Nevada State Museum. Item 6 should be the Nevada State Museum, not Nevada State Art Museum.
That's an error on my part. It's a typo. It's a good reason why I need an assistant.
Thank you. Okay. Are we good? Okay. All right. So then now we go on to number 4 for possible action of the approval of minutes from July 8, 2019. Do we have any comments or motion?
I had one small edit on page 4 under 5B. It was Commissioner Ramirez who volunteered to be on the school mural program, not Commissioner Leyva. Just for the record, that was it. That was the only thing I found.
Yeah, Mark, could I check the recording on that? Because I thought I heard his voice. And if it's changed, I'll let you know.
That sounds fine, sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I move to approve the minutes as presented with the correction to the commissioner involved with the school mural program being checked out.
I second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Motion passed. So now we go on to agenda item number 5 for discussion only items. And you mentioned, Mark?
Yeah. Deborah and Dana, if you want to. Oh, okay.
Do I turn it on? It's green now. I'm a local artist and arts instructor, not a techno geek. And I'm also a marketing coordinator for Nevada Artists Association. And I wanted to thank you guys so much for allowing us to have some time to kind of go over a brief overview of our history and the impact that NAA has had on our community in the cultural and arts arena. Today, basically, I wanted to cover that we are the only not-for-profit gallery in Carson City and kind of the surrounding area where member artists can show their art. And several times a year, we have art shows that we include non-member artists as well. And so they can come in and the shows are juried. Though some of us here, Milo, maybe you, Mark, are too young to remember, communities across the nation created incredible celebrations and impact statements and choices of what to do previous to our bicentennial in this country. And so looking back, part of our story has a lot to do with that. Here, the Carson City Board of Supervisors created the Centennial Bicentennial Commission, which in August of 1974 created a committee to explore the possibilities of finding creative space and meeting the needs of the community on that front. Because the Centennial Bicentennial Commission was created by the Board of Supervisors as a temporary entity, being the Centennial Bicentennial, it was necessary to establish a permanent corporation. And so you have the handout in front of you. Essentially, what happens is this is going to include a more comprehensive information on what I'm talking about, but at the very last page, there's a timeline. So if you could turn to that timeline, and that will help guide us through this little time travel journey we're going on here. Okay. So in 1974, the Carson City Arts Alliance, or CCAA, was established to purchase, develop, and ultimately operate an arts center. Members of NAA helped establish CCAA and worked hand-in-hand with them to achieve finding and creating this art space. About the same time, the Carson Brewery Company building was put on the market for $100,000. So CCAA started fundraising. By May of 1977, that's a very short amount of time to raise the kind of money in 77, in the years that 1977, the dollars were, you know, much harder to come by. They had raised from the following sources: local businesses and individuals, $45,000. The Carson City Fair and Recreation Board, which today we would call Parks and Recreation Board, $15,000. NAA, $20,000. And the City of Carson, $5,000. The purchase was recorded on June 22nd of 1977. Although many agencies were involved, we are really proud to say that quite a few of our members crossed over all of the agencies, especially reaching out to the community and thinking about spouses that own businesses in the community. So that under that individual and local businesses and individuals, you can consider a lot of that NAA-inspired donations. In addition, one thing that I really think is cool to acknowledge is that NAA had already purchased a lot that they were going to build their own art gallery on. Instead of building and proceeding with that, they came together with the community and they sold that lot and took the proceeds and donated it directly to buying the property that we know now today as Brewery Arts Campus. So that's something that we're just extremely proud of at NAA. So I'm just blowing our horn just a little bit. The City of Carson expressed a willingness to pursue Federal Economic Development Administrative Funds, or EDA, to acquire money for construction, remodeling the rest of that space at the Art Center. This necessitated CCAA deeding the dedication of the property to the city with CCAA leasing it back. So, in short, the EDA grant came to $205,000, and the old outbuildings were demolished and new buildings were constructed to house administrative offices, our gallery as it is today. Well, I'll go over that in a minute. a photo lab, a small theater, and classrooms and workshops. With NEA as the intended visual arts organization earmarked to run the gallery, the May 8, 1978 lease, and if you follow along, that's the next stop on our little historical time travel here, was we signed as a subleasee called for NAA to pay $1 to CCAA prepaid rent for 99 years, beginning September 1st of 1978 and going until June 24th of 2076, which means that my great-great-grandchildren and Milo's great-great-great-grandchildren will be able to participate in the art community or just go and enjoy art at this gallery. So this particular year, 2019, we celebrate our 40th anniversary of being in the same gallery location. And we are, our very first day opening was May 11th, 1979, and that NAA at that time had Reno, Carson City, and Urington branches. And so they all participated, but Carson City is the only survivor at this point, the only surviving chapter. That made it sound a little bit like a train crash, didn't it? I think probably what's happened is all of the outside regions have just compiled and come here. We do have a lot of Reno members, which is worth thinking about. So by a show of hands, how many in here have been into the gallery in the last year and a half? Awesome. Now, hold your hands up still. If you also have seen the gallery previous to a year and a half ago, keep your hand up. Okay, then you probably noticed that we made some really amazing capital gallery and property improvements. And that was done in January of 2018 and following on our little time travel here. So the major improvements included creating new slat board walls. Am I saying it right? Slat walls. And that just helps to hang the art, of course, much more quickly, but it's also extremely professional looking. New professional grade carpet and fresh interior paint, which I think has really helped attract more artists and of a higher professional caliber as well. I know it made a difference when I was making a decision. So we've grown our membership to 142 members with 58 new members this year alone, which I think is extremely impressive. We have 8 shows a year, and they average 80 or so entries per show. And the Nevada Day show has well over 100 entries, so you're looking at floor-to-ceiling art, basically. We updated, over the past few years, we've updated our constitution and reassigned board position from member at large to membership chairperson, updated duties and other positions. We have 9 members that meet at our board on a regular basis, usually monthly. And then we have 4 general membership meetings a year where we provide presentations and demonstrations that help enrich the artists that are members. It just helps enrich their art knowledge, maybe how to market their art, just whatever we can do to help them grow in the art, their art knowledge and whatnot. We'll have different artists come in and do demonstrations as well. So that's just another boost for just really helping enrich all of us who are part of the Nevada Artists Association. We have been running in the black for at least 5 years and balanced our budget. So more black ink from the printer, a little bit less color. We are members of the Downtown Business Association, and we participate in all the wine walks. We have chosen to stay open for the Saturday night Levitt Amp concerts for the past 3 years. And trust me, when I was trying to crunch the numbers, that is an extremely good idea on our part. Unbelievable flow of people. Not just using the bathroom. Right? We do participate in Jazz and Beyond events and the new open studio. Thank you, Ellie. And sometimes we host the meetings for the Carson City Arts Coalition. We participated in the Carson City Takes Flight Art Show at the Reno Tahoe Airport. Thank you, Mark. with our member artists providing almost half the art, right? So that, and we were so excited. I mean, it's just like people around, you know, the artists around Carson were just like,
we're in the airport. We've hit the big time now, you know. We were just proud as peacocks, you know, just talking about it. And I literally had friends say, wait, I just saw your art hanging in the airport. Somehow that made me just more important as an artist. It's been great. Thank you for that opportunity. We do have a website that features and promotes member artists, art shows, and local community art events. This year, we've enhanced and grown our Facebook following and added Instagram to our social media outreach. We've secured several radio interviews in addition to expanding our publicity. So we're not just going to local newspapers. We're also going to expand into Reno, Tahoe, regional, and then we're talking about radio and television. We're sharing information with them as well. But we're also sharing with local and statewide art alliances and tourism groups. So we're just trying to broaden that outreach. But another thing we did this year that was really cool is we created a way for our members to help participate in the marketing efforts. So not just getting out print media, but also helping boost on social media, you know, and pass the word on. And then we created a thing called pop-ups, art pop-ups. So we're having artists do demonstrations downtown, maybe McFadden Square one day, sometimes at the Nugget, off Alante, at Rustically Divine, and different places downtown where we can tell the weekend crowd, hey, just a few blocks down is an amazing art gallery with representation, you know, with arts representing up to 142 artists, you know, usually at any given time, at least 40 or 50 of us are showing. And so that's a way to help get out of our comfort zone, get off of BAC, and get out to downtown where the people are on the weekend and help usher them back. So these are just some new things that we've been trying to do. And the ultimate goal is, and you'll note on the front page of your packet, is honestly to show and sell art. And so this is the letter of intent kind of covers that's our ultimate goal. And so we're trying to get closer and closer to that. We also modernized our sales inventory mechanism. We're using a square, yes, and we're training all of our members how to use that. And it just helps save, it creates more efficiency with the accounting, and it also helps save time so we can put our energies and efforts into creating more of a quality experience and grow other aspects of the gallery. At the end of the timeline, you'll see that we're having our 40th anniversary celebration. On the front of your packet, you'll notice that you have an invitation. So please join us. We're going to have a great big celebration on November 3rd from 2 to 4 at the gallery. And we'll have some wonderful surprises with some art from some of the past members, some posthumously, unfortunately, and some of the founding members hopefully will be there to entertain us and regale us with their stories of old. Okay, well, stories of yesteryear at least. Any questions for Debbie?
Questions? I'll also add that if you recall the 110 paintings I installed in the senior center. That was from an NA artist who relocated, I believe, to Arizona. So this organization is definitely contributing to our community in a lot of aspects. So thanks for
that
friendship.
Yeah.
I think it's great that you're going to be doing it on a Sunday afternoon, because I think that we need to add more events downtown on Sunday afternoons for families.
That's a very good point. Mm-hmm. Very good point.
That Saturday's wine walk, and we're trying to not do too many things on the same day.
I think it's great that you're doing outreach, and especially I like the ideas of the pop-ups moving off the campus and then attracting people that might not wander two blocks off the main the main drag,
right.
And
right.
Making them aware that you're just a short.
A short
skip and a hop away. Yeah.
Yeah,
so that's great. Thank you.
You're welcome.
The Thanks. Purchasing of the wine walk tickets on the BAC campus has helped with people coming into the gallery. And the evening concerts in the summer, that first year, I don't know how many times I tried to explain the difference between BAC and NAA to people, because they really thought we were one and the same. and didn't realize it was two different memberships too. So we've spent a lot of time educating the public. Anything you can do to help would be great.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for coming.
Thank you so much.
All right. Moving on to, do I need to do public comment here?
Yeah, we're going to open up the public comment. Is there public any public comment? If not, we'll move on to the next item. Okay. Okay. Madam Vice Chair, if you want to read 6A, I'll follow up with reading the staff summary.
Okay. So on 6A, do I read the disclosure first?
Afterwards.
Afterwards? Mm-hmm. Okay. So 6A, a discussion and possible action regarding this, the Celebrate Culture CC grant application submitted by the Nevada State Museum in Carson City in the amount of $2,500 for the Dia de los Muertos Community Celebration scheduled for November 1st and 2nd of 2019.
Thank you. So as you recall, this body had approved a brand new grant application guidelines and final report that I brought to you.
If I could just interrupt, Piran Takis on behalf of the District Attorney's Office, if you could read your disclosure right before the staff summary.
Gotcha.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Okay. So NRS 281A.420 requires me to disclose a conflict of interest and abstain from voting if I have a disqualifying conflict. In my private commitment, I am involved in Western Nevada College's Latino cohort as a planner and sponsor of the museum's event. WNC collaborating with the Nevada State Museum for the Celebrate Culture grant application. Because of my commitment in a private capacity to the grant applicant, I feel that a person in my position would be materially affected by that relationship as such, I will be abstaining from voting on this matter.
Thank you. So just to recap, this body had approved a Celebrate Culture grant guideline application final report in January. Tonight we have a first-time applicant. It's the first time that we are going to go through this procedure of reviewing the application. Minot, if you want to step up. I found that the grant applicant, this is an eligible grant. The responses you have copies of, that's part of the public documents here at the front door. I wanted to give the applicant the time and ability to express the importance of this outside of the written material that you've already seen. We have the website up already. You'll also see that you have a copy of the scoring criteria at your hand. With a pencil. As this is a smaller amount of money, $7,000 allocated for fiscal 1920, and we are uncertain of how many other applicants we're going to get to this, I'd like just to use that scoring criteria as to keep in the back of your head as we listen to the Nevada State Museum's request for $2,500.
So, could you scroll that up a little so we could see the pictures?
Turn on your... Okay. There we go.
Yeah, okay. So, is it on?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So the Nevada State Museum has been doing Dia de los Muertos events since 2006. It was often quite small because we didn't have a great way to let everyone know about it. And what I mean by everyone is literally everyone, all different parts of the community. But in the last 2 years, is it three now? I guess it's the third year we've been partnering with the Western Nevada College's Latino cohort. It has really expanded because of that connection to the Latino community. This year, we are planning on having last year we started having our dance outside, and we go back to the pictures. Okay. These guys here are from years ago dancing inside. But then there's also a picture from last year where there they are outside, and we're able to have a much larger audience participating with the chairs out in our parking lot instead of in our, this is again in the little room. And so we're really looking to expand and to grow and to, you know, fill that parking lot even more this year. And to do that, I do need some more financial support to acknowledge the performers who come and give of their artistic ability and cultural background. We have two folklorical ballets coming, one from Reno and one from Fallon. And then the picture with the Aztec dancers in yellow and red is the St. Teresa de Avila Aztec dancers. So they're from locally here in Carson. And so, like I said, doing all of that, I do need a little more financial support. And one of the things we want to do for outside from this grant is to rent one of those portable dance floors. So the dancers are actually on a parquet surface instead of on our sidewalk. And if any of you have seen sidewalks after the winter around here, they get all, you know, pockmarked and difficult and such. And so I wanted to make sure that the dancers had a good surface to dance on out there. We at the museum already have the, you know, the seating. We have chairs accessible to us. We have a PA system that's really good to be able to present that outside. We have space in our concourse where we're having the altar presentation, so that's going to be all covered. And so really the primary support we're looking for is the financial acknowledgement to the performers and the dance floor to make their presentation better. So does anyone have any questions?
I just have one that's logistical. Since it's November 1st and 2nd, and the dance floor I think is a lovely idea, what accommodation in case weather isn't?
So that would be a whole other grant. But so we are able to use that indoor room that's in the pictures. The only challenge is we can only have 90 visitors in there watching the performance at a time. And so then we end up having to, like, ticket people in and out and, you know, oh, don't worry, you'll get a chance to see it later. And then it just becomes a really difficult kind of outside of that room. The room is lovely. The dancers will be beautiful in the room. But it's the other 90 people that didn't get in to see it that then we have kind of a difficult situation with. That's why we really like to go outside. And yes, I understand that I don't want to wish weather on myself, but there is a possibility of that. And we do have an alternative way of doing it. Anyone else? Any questions? No. Another thing, we're also partnering with not only Western Nevada College, but the Carson City Tourism and Cultural Authority is helping us with printing our posters. We recently also asked the Downtown Business Association to help us with some funding and distributing those posters once we have them printed. So we're really trying to get a broad coalition of community members to help present this event.
Any questions or comments? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. So I think at this point, you know, I think the commission can discuss among itself the asked amount, and knowing that there's $7,000 available for the next fiscal year in total, this is the first applicant that we've received. You can take a look at that scoring criteria and have discussion about the amount in full or else.
So I have just a thought. So at our last meeting, we approved $1,000 for the paint, sip, and chip. Is that for last year or for this year?
That's for this
upcoming
associate event, which is going to be on October 23rd.
So we've already dedicated $1,000 of funding towards that whole celebration. I'm not saying at the State Museum, but
I have in my presentation the use of that money. It's actually towards a photo booth, a trailer photo booth, okay. That I can discuss with the commission immediately after this, actually.
Well, my point is that then $3,500 out of a total of $8,000 would be dedicated, if we voted on that today, of the total year's funding for this one weekend.
The originally recommended $8,000, and then we made it $7,000. So there is only available $7,000 for all applicants. That $1,000 was distributed by the commission to another event.
Okay.
As part of my expenditure towards the paint, sip, and chip.
So I think the scoring should be fairly easy as far as this event goes. It's just gotten more and more and more popular, and more people in the community attend. I feel strongly about paying artists for their time and their effort.
And then just to remind the commission that prior to this, such asks were made directly to me, and this was my attempt to make this a transparent, democratic process.
This is a tremendous event, and I've attended, and I watched the growth. And in terms of embrace of community and bringing in different groups, and you did an excellent job of how this is all handled. And so to me, it meets the criteria fully. That's my thought process.
Thank you, Commissioner Rowe. So anybody else has any comments, or do we ask for public comments, or are we good?
Do we do the scoring separately and then decide on the funding, or do we do the weighted scoring and then the funding like we've done with the RAC?
Right. Because this is a smaller amount geared specifically towards ethnic-driven cultural events, which we are uncertain how many we're going to get, the idea was to have the scoring as just on the side for your consideration, but not necessarily to take the added scores, multiply it, because theoretically speaking, this could be the only applicant we get all year. Because this first year is going to be a rolling process, whereas next spring, everyone who's applying is going to be in the same room at the same time, and then we'll be able to wait.
And this funding lasts until June 30th?
The end of
2020?
Yeah.
Okay.
I would recommend opening up public comment because the agenda indicates that there will be an opportunity to do so.
Thank you. Okay, so are there any public comments? So I see none. Do I ask for a motion? Okay.
I move that we fund the Dia de los Muertos community celebration as requested, but for a slightly smaller amount. I'm going to suggest $2,000 instead of $2,500. The 819 of that fund, the budget, was for the flooring. So that would cover part of the flooring and all of the artists' honorariums. I wonder now that the word's going to get out if we're not going to have more people come forward before June 30th.
I have a comment about the floor. I think it's really important for the dancers to be safe and have an appropriate floor, but you might not be aware that the Brewery Arts Center now has a dance floor, and they might be able to loan or rent it to you at a lower price. Yes. Yes. So you might check with them and see if you could get a lower price. Or maybe they even would like to be a co-sponsor by providing that.
With that, I would second that.
All right.
So what is the determined amount, just for the record?
$2,000.
So
that's.
So do we
call for a final vote on that?
I'm sorry?
Call for a final vote on the recommendation for $2,000.
Okay. So to summarize it, I'm sorry, I didn't.
Sure. The recommended board action would be to move to approve the move to approve the application in the amount of $2,000.
Okay. So do we?
And there's a second, and then all in favor would vote now by saying aye.
So go ahead.
All those in favor?
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed?
Any opposed?
Abstentions? And it carries.
It carries on. Okay.
Yeah.
Thank you.
One abstention.
So for the record,
right.
Vice Chair.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Okay. All right.
Okay. So, thank you for that.
Thank you for everyone's help on that.
Thank you, Myna. We're going to move forward to the report 7A. And then we're going to go back to 6B. So this is for discussion only. This is my bi-monthly report to the Cultural Commission, saying, you know, what I've been working on. So what you see here is a picture of about 40 people, arts leaders from all across the Nevada, having gathered in Tonopah, Nevada, about 2 to 3 months ago. This is part of the Nevada Arts Council's Basin to Range Exchange Program. This was an effort to pair larger communities with smaller communities for cultural swaps. I paired myself with the city of Tonopah, knowing that their contact person there, Kat Galley, is responsible for the tourism, and knowing how this office is funded, I thought it would be a good match. What you see up here, BRX, that's two logos. So every month for the next 10 months, we are submitting imagery of public art in each city and digitally splicing it to conceptually come up with a new piece of art. So there you see the New York to Paris mural race of 1908 in the fill of the BRX, and behind that Bryce Chisholm's mural at the Brewery Arts Center. In addition, we contracted with a great graphic designer to create a new Carson City Tonopah sticker, and those were 150 limited edition stickers. If you haven't gotten yours, there might be a few left. As part of this cultural swap, not only are we exchanging artwork, which I'll show on the next slide, but we're also exchanging some of the benefits of each town. We've partnered with some hotels, with some ghost walks, with some breweries, and what we're doing is giving online giveaways. Just this past week, a woman who lives in Spring Creek, Nevada, won an overnight stay-and-play package that we put together through the kindness of donations through these companies to come and visit Carson City, and we have two swaps, two Carson City packages and two Tonopah packages that we'll be swapping out within those next 10 months. At present, a dozen parasols that, and you're familiar with these from the airport show, are hanging at the Tonopah Convention Center for their Tonopah Arts Festival that was just in August. Come 2020 in City Hall, we're going to be displaying some Tonopah artists there in City Hall. If you haven't attended the summer 2019 artist lecture series, it's been a lot of fun. We've been getting about 25 to 30 people per evening. Our last event is Thursday, September 19th. These are free, open to the public at the Brick. The last two artists are both from Buffalo Creek Artist Residency. It's a good partnership we have with this artist residency in Gardnerville. Gina Misanelli is from just outside of New York City. She's working on her first public sculpture there. And Laura Buchan is a woodworker. So this is Artist 7 and Artist 8 of an ongoing summer series that celebrated artists that Buffalo Creek is bringing in, as well as the Artist in Residency program in Silver City.
Mark, what's the attendance been like? I've only been
25 to 30 people per evening.
Oh, great. Yeah. Terrific. Thank you.
This is one of the newest additions to artwork in Ward 3. This is also another work by Bryce Chisholm. The other day we had a ribbon cutting at Empire Elementary School. Pictured here is Susan Squires, the principal, who reached out wanting to beautify this freestanding two-sided wall that's in the playground. We put out, as you know, a call for artists. 22 applications were received. 22 of them were eligible. We had to, as you know, a wall has two sides. We had to pick two, unfortunately. Bryce was one and Bill Lewis was the other. Just under 300 people there for the ribbon cutting. Commissioner Ramirez, thank you for being there. Awesome. Superintendent Stokes was there. He was very pleased with this. Any muralist wants a backdrop of those mountains when they do a mural like this. The theme was Reach for the Stars, which is an internal theme of Empire Elementary School, reaching for excellence. It was a really good time. Bill Lewis is the artist. He actually lives in Utah. He grew up in Sparks, went to school in Sparks, travels back and forth sometimes, and was interested enough to send in his application. Although he wasn't present for the ribbon cutting, it's certainly fun to say that we had an artist from Utah come in. There's a nice picture of all of us. And now I want to talk about statistics, social media statistics, just for this one project, right? This is something I traced just for 5 weeks. As you know, I have to prepare this information a week in advance and put it in the machine. So these numbers have grown since then. On the far left, and we're just kind of working linearly from left to right, is the call for artists that I created. Underneath that are two Facebook screenshots of Carson Now and Nevada Appeal advertising the call for artists. Next you have Carson City Department of Arts and Culture, which is the Facebook page that I manage. That is congratulating the two artists. Those are actual digital images that the artists submitted for consideration. The next column there are the works in progress. Continuing working left from right, Rachel in IT does a fantastic job. She's responsible for the Carson City Nevada government website. She's the one that took a lot of the photographs, a lot of the videos. That's the update of the event. The Carson City School District underneath that posted the event. The next column is the artists or the artists' businesses. The next column is the artists' family. The last column on the right is their Instagram. So as you can see, this news travels through many, many, many layers. And overall, I only have data from two of the Facebook sites that I have administrator access to, Carson City Government and the Department of Arts and Culture. So I don't have the stats for Nevada, Carson Now. I don't have the stats for the school district. But just among those two, 5,688 people were reached. Engagements, 849. Likes, over 1,200. All of them were positive. All the comments were positive, the 131 rather. And 61 shares. So the question is, the sort of rhetorical question is, what is the value of this? Does this put heads in beds? Not necessarily, but there's quite an antenna of communication on this. And sending home 300 kids who go home with smiles on their faces and talk and tell their parents that they were there for the birthday party of this mural, I think is something that has to be measured. again, this report is kind of going over the approved fiscal year calendar that we approved. I want to touch the topic here of Nevada Recycles. This was a collaboration with the state agency and local fish wanting to do a recycling program together. It seems the state kind of got out of the gates a little bit too late and wanted to get their information out. I have no problem creating the content, but I need some help doing the marketing, doing the finding the audience, finding the speakers. And so we have a good start. It kind of started a little bit late, so we decided to table this. No work is lost until next time when we can get our calendars in sync. That makes sense. The Lego project, I have decided to delay on the calendar a bit. Because at hand, I'm working currently, as Mina had mentioned, on the Dia de los Muertos. Last year, I did the first annual Paint, Sip, and Chip. This was a collaboration with the Carson City Library that would laser cut 150 of these wooden skull ornaments. This slide needs to be corrected. Things move very fast within a week. The Boys and Girls Club will be partnering with me on helping prime the wooden skulls, on helping paint a couple of wooden skulls for our jurors for the Ofrenda competition. The Nevada Artists Association has been kind enough to once again donate the soda, the candy, the chips, the salsa, the real content that brings people together for a fun evening. This is scheduled for October 23rd. We've upgraded, thank you, to the museum from the Adams Hub to the museum itself, because we anticipate a larger crowd than last year. And this is the space and the space restrictions from last year with the 98 people that we had show up. Happy to say that this event was a finalist for Best Special Event in Carson City. That's a new category that the Reno News and Review had made for us. Commissioner McBride, to answer your question, so in addition to the collaboration with the library on making the skulls, and in addition to the Boys and Girls Club priming and prepping a few of them, in addition to the NAA providing all the food and drink, Snap Wagon reached out to me. They have this cool rig here that has a photo booth on the inside. So not only can it make paper strip photographs, it can email them to the attendees. We have a DVD of all the photographs to build a library. This is portable. We're going to discuss where we can place this. What I'm really thrilled about is at the bottom of the photo strip, we can put the Cultural Commission logo. So now we're really starting about, like, with 1,000 people coming to this event, potentially 1,000 people going home with this logo, emailing it to their friends and family. I think this is really the building blocks for something spectacular. Here are our friend of jurors from last year. This year, we've reached out to the Lieutenant Governor's office. Sergeant Daniel Gonzalez has confirmed that he will be a juror, as well as Jessica Clark, one of the owners of San Marcos Restaurant. So as you can see, this event is really rooted in the community. I've been working on the first annual Mayor's Art Awards and luncheon. I've partnered with the Chamber of Commerce on putting together this event as part of their portfolio of Soups On. They already have a working template at the Gold Dust West. Again, things move very fast, so I need to update this slide. The event will be held Friday, November 15th at the Gold Dust West. Tickets are $25 per person. The Chamber will donate $5 per ticket sale back to the Department of Arts and Culture. I have reached out to the Governor's Office and First Lady's Office, inviting them to attend this event. Let me press the pause on that button, because I'm going to get back to that in 1 minute. The intent each year in Carson City, the mayor, in partnership with the Department of Arts and Culture, recognizes individuals and organizations committed to enriching the capital with arts excellence. It is the intent of the Mayor's Art Awards to help Nevadans cultivate greater appreciation and understanding of the value of arts, stimulate further arts leadership, and grow new art patrons. The chamber is going to take care of all ticketing. The seating capacity is between a 60-person base and 125 maximum capacity. It is their belief that this will be a sellout event, 8 to 10 people per table. I've secured keynote speaker Heather Harmon. She's the deputy director of the Nevada Museum of Art in Las Vegas. The Las Vegas branch will be complete within the next 5 to 7 years with a speculative budget of $250 million. special guests. I've been working, thanks to Myron Friedman, the director of the Nevada State Museum, on a special project in the actual governor's mansion, the living quarters. I will address this. I don't want to let the cat out of the bag, so to speak, but it's going to be a very special opportunity that the First Lady is very thrilled to participate on, which allows Carson City to be the conduit for putting contemporary artwork in the living quarters, the foyer and the lobby of the governor's mansion. It would be a artist registry, and then I would be curating this with the First Lady, with the State Museum, and another person from the governor's office. The idea is that the details will be summarized and announced, I guess I've already done it, though, at the luncheon. So I'm super excited about that because it adds another level of city and state overlap. This is Heather Harmon. And I would like, if no one is familiar with her, to show this video of her on TV.
Celebrity charity game. Comedian.
We are not endorsing anything you see here right now.
But for several years on your Friday morning, the Nevada Museum of Art is up in beautiful Reno, Nevada. But for several years, there's been an effort to try and expand it down here to Las Vegas. And with me this morning, Heather Harmon, Deputy Director of the Nevada Museum of Art. Thanks for joining us this
morning,
Heather.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk a little bit about the effort to expand the museum down here to Southern Nevada. Why is now the time to bring what is up there down here to Las Vegas?
We initially started with Seven Magic Mountains, which was a great testament for the hunger of the audience here in Las Vegas. That was a project that our team had worked tirelessly on for years, and it was a real accomplishment, and the numbers are there. You know, just last year, 312,000 people visited it. It's almost 1,000 people a day, and it's a great barometer for showing that people are very hungry for arts and culture in Las Vegas. The Smith Center set an incredible precedent mm-hmm. for culture here, and just before that, the Lou Ruvo Center, who brought architect Frank Gehry to Las Vegas for a building that every time I drive through Symphony Park, someone is outside photographing it. So there were a number of great shifts that allowed what is now possible.
And Seven Magic Mountains just got repainted. It looks very nice. We also saw the Seven Magic Tires a couple of weeks ago, I think it was. You know the artist involved
yes,
in that.
Yes, he's a great local artist.
One of the great many local artists here in town that are doing really great work that we get to see from time to time spotted around the valley.
And the artist is Justin Favela. He just had a fantastic show at the Barrick Museum mm-hmm. on campus at UNLV. And he's an artist we've worked with at the museum previously and someone we really get excited about supporting. He has a couple upcoming shows in other parts of the U.S. And it's also like a great testament to the work that's being made here.
All right, so let's get back to talking about the effort to bring in the museum and expand it down here to Southern Nevada. Symphony Park is kind of the location, right, that you guys are talking
yes.
about. Where do things stand on fundraising, designs? How far along are you guys?
So Symphony Park is a fantastic location because it's really the nexus of arts and culture. You have, you know, the Ruvo Center, which does incredible work. You have the Smith Center, which is really such a beacon for us, bringing world-class programming, the ballet, the Philharmonic, so it's a very natural nexus for arts and culture, and we are full swing in our fundraising efforts. We have a few milestones that we're working towards hitting. One is a match with the value of the land and mm-hmm. some funding the city has given us, and we're working swiftly towards accomplishing our fundraising goals, and in tandem, working on an architecture search. So we had some parameters. We wanted to give an architect a real opportunity, not someone that has had at the point in their career where they've won a Pritzker Prize, mm-hmm. but someone that maybe has worked on a few museums, and for someone who this opportunity would be really meaningful, because our city, you know, someone that is really going to look at our city and look at what we can offer and give us a great opportunity to bring people, you know, to look at this piece of architecture as they do yeah. the Geary Building.
And just real quick, if people want to get more information online, where can they go to check out?
They can go to the NevadaMuseumOfArt.org.
Good.
And get a membership.
All right, well, thank you very much for coming in this morning, Heather, to talk about the Nevada Museum of Art, hopefully coming here to Southern Nevada. Appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.
So just to reiterate, you know, it's my strong intent and drive to try to secure the First Lady and potentially the governor to this event. It's in the works. You can, of course, imagine what their schedule looks like. Things change rapidly, but they can definitely, I think, bring an elevated elevated exposure to what we're doing here in tandem with having Heather here as well. Finally, the award nominations, I'll be issuing these in the weeks to come. There are four categories, and I spoke with Commissioner Bugley and Commissioner Ramirez on this as they volunteered to sort of be on this small consultation. There's four categories: Arts Innovator Awards, Service to the Arts Awards, Community Impact Arts Awards, and the Art of Giving Award. What I wanted to do was recognize both individuals and organizations. What I wanted to do was also recognize doers and contributors. Okay? So the Arts Innovator Award honors an individual who is implementing new and innovative ideas into the arts and culture sector of the benefits community. A doer. Service to the Arts Award. This award seeks to inspire a culture of giving by recognizing an outstanding individual who has graciously helped fund, support, or sustain arts and culture. Contributor. We have the same on the organization. This award honors an organization that has tangible, measurable effects on the community, exemplifying the impact and vitality of Carson City's creative economy. Organization may be profit or nonprofit. That's the Community Impact Award. And then likewise, the Art of Giving Award recognizes outstanding organization that has helped graciously fund. It's the same language: support, sustain the arts. Could be profit or nonprofit. I've done a lot of research nationwide. It's very common for when an award ceremony like this is being put together to also have the artist create one more award, which goes into the public art collection. So these are going. So we're actually commissioning. I made an invitation to Melissa Malero Moose to create these five awards, two dimensional, unframed, to be hung on a wall. You can see the strategy here on how I'm trying to make a first-time event in our capital include Reno, Vegas. You know, Melissa is a cultural commissioner in Sparks, to really throw the net out there and do what I think a capital should be doing. Yeah. I think it's a terribly exciting opportunity. And this is something I'm working feverishly on as we speak with a graphic designer, everything from, you know, what's going to be the decoration on the center of the tables, working with Commissioner Bugley on entertainment, working with the chamber on when we're going to get these release dates, the call for nominations, and that sort. As always, if you follow the Carson City Department of Arts and Culture on Facebook, that's really the platform where I lay out a lot of this information. I'll be forwarding it to you to please forward to your friends.
Mark, if there's anything that you need help with, please let us know. That's a huge undertaking. I can only imagine all the work that is
going to... It's multi-layer. There's a lot of exposure. This is, you know, the highest degree of exposure one's going to put themselves in front of, right? So I hope that explains why maybe the Lego project has been pushed back a bit.
Okay. Completely.
Okay. I can help with the centerpieces.
I'll take you up on that. So that concludes 7A. That was for discussion only. Mm-hmm. I'd like to jump back in now, if there's no public comment, to go to 6B.
Okay.
And so if you wanted to read 6B, I'll read the staff summary.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so discussion and possible action regarding a proposed resolution authorizing a recommendation to the Board of Supervisors in Carson City Culture and Tourism Authority to extend the funding for the Arts and Culture Coordinator position and implementation of the Carson City Arts and Culture Master Plan.
Thank you. So, given that, I think you understand why it was important for me to sort of show you what I'm doing with impact for the rest of the year. Next month, I will have been here 3 years. And I did include under 6B some late material, which we've posted, which is available at the front desk here, which I've given to you. Under agenda item 6B, I just want to go and kind of list what material we have here. I've collected municipal arts issues in the news from this summer. This is important to see what other cities are doing, and I've included the population, okay? Mm-hmm. The next item is arts organizations, or you can call them arts assets, in Carson City, and I've divided those by the wards so we can actually see what's where.
This is a terrific list.
If there's anything missing, please let me know. Finally, there's the resolution. And the late material is what I've coined as a timeline of Carson City municipal action to develop arts and culture. And this are items that that start on January 17th, 2008. So we've had a good 11 years towards this effort. This is all just background information for this resolution. I think it's terribly important to know. And then finally, on the last page, options for action. And that's sort of it looks like an org chart, but that tells us what our options are. And I want to make it, I'd like to go through all the material. Commissioner McBride, I know that this was a resolution that you were strongly behind. If you want to jump in, please, at any given moment, let me know. I think it's really important that the content of this information informs your decision. And that, first and foremost, that this is about establishing a Department of Arts and Culture in a capital. Looking at agenda item 6B, supporting materials, municipal arts issues in the news. In Houston, Texas, this is stuff happening just the past 2 months. Houston hotel occupancy tax is now collecting from Airbnb customers. Right now, we don't collect from any property less than four rooms. You'll see on July 12th, Truckee, California, I was present there speaking on behalf of their arts and culture. They have a population of 16,000. They were putting together their first arts and culture master plan. Even in Canada, they've dedicated $20,000 to put an arts and culture master plan together. In San Luis Obispo, on July 23rd, their public policy was focusing more on commemorating ideas than people. In Redlands, California, they're making a study that could be the first step in an arts and culture master plan called for in the city's general plan. Arts and culture is specified in the city's strategic plan for 2016 to 2020. Mm-hmm. In Milwaukee, they have they're looking at making art hotels as art venues. Finally, on August 20th in Scottsdale, the survival of the local galleries and businesses in downtown depend on new customers discovering Scottsdale. If that doesn't happen, galleries will close. Artists will seek new cities, customers will vanish, and the local arts community would suffer. The Scottsdale Arts District will have a bright future as long as our leaders have foresight and vision. These are all cut and paste from several articles from surrounding communities. And you can see they're all over the place, from changing policy to making policy, from putting together an arts and culture plan to developing an arts and culture coalition or commission. The question that this board needs to ask itself is, where are we in there, and where do we want to be in this race? The next page is arts organization, arts assets by the ward. As you can see, the lion's share of arts assets, as far as numbering, the quantity, is in Ward 1, followed by Ward 2, then Ward 4, and then Ward 3. And it's no mistake that Empire Elementary is in Ward 3. That was a strategic plan to get more arts in a ward so that we're balanced. This includes art galleries, this includes commercial galleries, non-for-profits, states, state arts agencies, murals, sculptures. I even include some of the highway, the sculptures on the highway. it includes all the organizations that we allocate funds through redevelopment. I want to take a look at the resolution itself and just explain the $25,000. I want to break that down so that people understand that amount. So I've applied for several grants. The National Association of Latina Arts and Culture, that was about a $2,000 award that they gave me to attend their leadership conference. The National Endowment of the Arts, that was a $14,000 True Grit grant. The NAC under professional development grants, I've secured $2,950 under the Nevada Arts Arts Council, the BRX program, that was $1,250. I also helped write the grant that brought Zet Gold here for our state arts advocacy post-party. She did a huge mural at the Boys and Girls Club. That was $3,079. Travel Nevada Rural Grant, $3,000. That was for that big Nevada Day Parade and the Capitol Collage event. That alone right there is $26,279. That's not including, I couldn't find the information. I wrote a GBNA, Great Basin Native Artists grant when I was at the Visitors Bureau. I couldn't find that information. It doesn't include the Nevada Humanities Mini Grant of $1,000 that I'm writing to help offset costs for the Mayor's Art Awards, photographer, graphic designer, keynote stipend. It doesn't include the $10,000 in face value of the silent auction items that I personally solicited for Capitol Collage. It doesn't include the $30,000 of marketing value for that huge show that we had at the Reno Tahoe Airport. Doesn't include the NEA one-to-one match for that $14,000. There was $14,000 in in-kind contributions in cash. It doesn't include artist sale, whether it's from the LEX show, City Hall, the airport show, the Entrepreneur pop-up, the True Grit show we had at WNC, the Artist Lecture Series. Artists have been selling stuff at the Artist Lecture Series. The Nevada Day Parade parasols being sold, and potential benefits from the mayor's lunch and ticketing. In a forthcoming meeting, I can bring a chart that shows the monthly contributions of that 1%. Because I want the commission to be understand that having arts and culture as a part of it hasn't slipped. There's a trend, and it's a growing trend, and it's seasonal. But, you know, I think that really the burden of proof is on showing how arts is not helping the community.
Right.
So the burden of proof is showing how arts is not helping the community.
Yeah.
That's I think that's what I ask. Show me how it's not helping the community.
And so, Mark, the reason I asked for that figure, I wanted to throw that out there as additional actual dollars that came into this community that would not have been here if someone weren't writing grants and soliciting that. And I know that there's a lot of in-kind donations also available, and I know that you and I spoke about that. Like I said, just not the in-kind.
I mean, we just heard of it tonight, the NAA and their contribution to the paint sip and
Right, and so I am of the opinion that throwing hard money, you know, amounts at people who consider these things can work on a certain level. Of course, I'll let you finish because I've got some more to say.
Okay. The timeline of the Carson City, so we have a timeline of action that was taken to develop arts and culture back in 2008. And newer commissioners, I mean, this is information that I want you to hit the streets with, read it. This is real stuff. It shows in January how the Board of Supervisors created the Cultural Commission, and then later in July, appointing the members. It shows the page of the strategic plan, and under quality of life and community, it says engage arts and cultural assets, develop and adopt a cultural master plan for Carson City. It says to leverage redevelopment and other funds to support arts and cultural events and invest in public art. And then finally, utilize arts and cultural investments to engage Carson City's diverse economy and history. So that was long before we even had an arts and culture master plan. You're going to see the word unanimously a lot in all of these listings. One was for the Board of Supervisors upon receiving 180 signatures and 13 people in line for public comment, speaking on behalf to support the arts and culture draft. The Board of Supervisors unanimously approved that draft and give comment and feedback. My job description being unanimously approved. The Carson City Visitors Bureau presenting the business impact statement to the Board of Supervisors to show the 1% increase does not impose direct economic burden on lodging properties. The Board of Supervisors unanimously approved to accept those findings March 17, 2016. The tax took place July 1, and I started October 3. So there's about 3 months of collecting the tax, or you know, you could say the meter was running before I got here. In January 30th of 2017, you'll see arts and culture included in the State of the City address. You'll see the Board of Supervisors unanimously approving our annual report and work plan, a pattern of that for the next 2 years. Finally, the last two entries of this of these dates are the interlocal agreement, which the CTA gives 1% to the city, and that covers clerk, DA, human resources, finance, cutting checks, closing street closures, security, that sort of stuff, and then the second 1%, which is for arts and culture. And so this is a interlocal agreement that Ben worked feverishly on to really modernize and make understandable consulting every department that's mentioned in there. And so under arts and culture C, that's the actual the interlocal agreement that specified, that names me specifically. And then lastly is our options for action, or this city's options for action. Either to fulfill an arts and culture master plan, or you don't fulfill it, you abandon it. And, you know, we just looked at 3 pages since 2008 of efforts to make it. So what are the solutions? And, you know, I was brought here through a national search to give my best educated, experienced, professional opinion to make this work for you. And so these are my recommendations. Step 1A, which is the permanent solution, would be to eliminate the sunset clause prior to May 31, 2021. Step B would be to renew or extend the sunset clause. That's a temporary fix. But there's more than just that. There's more than just securing the funding. If we want to make this grow, if we look at all those news articles from around the country about what other people are doing, step 2 would be to secure some type of general funds to augment the 1% hotel tax. Step three would be to hire a project manager and to edit my agendas, right? Step four would be to create a CIP. This is specific language written. It's different from city to city, but it could dedicate anything from 0.5 to 2% of a public works project. That money is put aside in a kitty to dedicate public arts either to that site or to another public site. It takes, I have to do a lot of research on that. That's, the big cities have that.
Yeah.
San Francisco.
Does Reno have that?
Pardon me?
Yeah, that's true.
Reno has that and the TOT.
Right.
So, the resolution speaks to our first step, but I just want the public to know and everyone here to know that there are other steps to be taken to keep this going. So those are some options to make this happen. The other option is to abandon it or to not implement an arts and culture master plan. And so what happens then is Nevada becomes the only state among California, Oregon, Idaho, Utah, and Arizona, all of our surrounding states, without arts funding in its state capital. Nevada becomes the only state among those five states without a Department of Arts and Culture, and city government intentionally omits arts and culture from the next Carson City Strategic Plan 21 to 26. So it's intentional. Explicitly, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of information, but you know, it, you know, I feel it's my duty to go back in history to show how we got here. Everyone was here. I wasn't, but mm-hmm. but when we put it all together and look at it on the same screen, I think it brings some needed knowledge for the decision that the
so, wants to make. So this is Commissioner McBride, and I want to update everyone here on what I have found out over the last month or so and talking to people on the phone, and also I want to thank Glenn and Susan, or Sharon, for meeting with me and brainstorming on ways that we can try to get beyond this sunset clause, just, you know, different strategies to take. You know, it comes down to the board of supervisors approving that tax. That's what it boils down to. Working backwards, what the preferred and status quo route is to go through the CTA board and have them make a formal recommendation, mm-hmm. and then the Board of Supervisors votes on that. However, what I was told is they need data. And they were told in 2016 that they would be provided an annual report of beds and heads, or heads and beds, on how many people were staying overnight for cultural events or performances, et cetera. The lodging operators would be provided an annual report. Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, that data was not collected and those reports were not given.
Really?
So that's where we're at right now. They don't have the data. Reports were not given. That is the agency who's got the means to collect data,
right.
from people getting rooms at night in the lodging establishments in Carson City. We don't have that ability to collect that data. And for whatever reason, that hasn't been collected. And so now what I've been told is from the executive director, Dave Peterson, is they need data or they won't make the recommendation. There is another route. I mean, we could go directly to the Board of Supervisors and to the mayor's office and ask them what they think, what they need. One supervisor told me that we didn't necessarily need to collect the data, that we just needed to maybe do a poll of all the lodging operators and find out if they're just happy with the way things are going and leave it at that.
Well, I'll add to that as far as data. I mean, in the late materials, all the municipal actions, it lists my annual reports to the Board of Supervisors.
Annual reports are one thing. It doesn't specify that it has to have lodging data in it.
Right.
And I did provide a report this spring.
Infographics to the CTA as well.
Right.
So if there was an opportunity to say that the data that they wanted was not there, well, it was unanimously approved anyhow. So I'm a little, you know.
Right. Right. So what I suggest, there's a couple of things that I've been thinking of. One is to attend the CTA meeting this Friday. It's 4:30 here. Commissioner McCormick has expressed interest in attending and speaking in support of either getting rid of that sunset clause that specifies it ends in 5 years and just leaving the tax in place, or, you know, finding some other funding source. But what I understand from Ben, and also talking to Ben, is that two or three of us commissioners at a time can attend those meetings, and then we don't have to do a quorum and a public notice of us being there and maybe setting up a special meeting, that we can just go and provide our support besides sending them a transmittal of the resolution if we approve it tonight, because the final clause in the resolution is to transmit a copy of the approved resolution to the CTA board and also to the Board of Supervisors, just to have on paper that we formally would support, you know, extending the department's funding, either through the room tax or some other way.
Right. What time is the meeting, Terry?
It's at 4:30. Or no, 4. 4 to 5:30.
Typically,
right?
It would be on this evening, but it's for this one time, it's this Friday.
Right.
Yeah.
Usually, it's right
before
our
meeting.
Yeah,
that's right.
But for whatever reason, it's this Friday at 4.
Okay.
So, you know,
so if anyone else would like to volunteer to go to that, yeah, and if the arts community, maybe if you'd like to show up and show your support for continuing having an arts department in town and maybe bring some anecdotal, or maybe I know that Jazz and Beyond has collected some data on the types of visitors that come to that, but she doesn't have heads in beds data. She has other data.
Right.
Terry, let me ask you. The Tourism Authority has the ability to take a poll of their properties to find out how they, what their experience has been. So why not?
I don't know if they will.
You know, there are a lot of measures. You know, I'm just looking at this plaque behind you, founded in 1858. You know, I've been here. Well, there's been a, you know, Department of Arts and Culture the past year, you know, right? But I think some of the measurable data is, I want to list some organizations that have been approaching me wanting to contribute to art, wanting to make art. The Neighborhood Improvement District, Fish, the Airport Authority, the School District, local brewery, and a local coin shop. So, you know, when the community starts saying that we want it, I don't know if it's responsible leadership to say, well, because we said we're going to sunset it 3 years ago, we're not going to reconsider to reflect the contemporary values of our citizens today, having seen these reports.
Mark, and I think that it's important that this, you know, we can get more private funding and more corporate support and business support, but we also need to be able to demonstrate that the city supports this, and those will come together. They will come together.
Mm-hmm.
That the city's invested, and then they will invest.
This is verbatim of some of our applicants for redevelopment. They want to see the city. They want this. If they can get the city's logo on their postcard, it helps leverage NEA stuff. It helps leverage NAC, Nevada Humanities, other contributors as well.
So if you can provide us, I think that maybe we could share some responsibilities here. And if you could provide us that list that you just read off of people approaching you about how they can help,
right? You know, and
then we can call them.
I would like to think that
and
everyone
ask them to start attending the CTA meetings or the Board of Supervisor meetings as needed.
Right. I would like to think that everyone wants this to work out. That we all want to be a flourishing, forward-facing, contemporary capital. I'm optimistic, thinking that. That we want to see ourselves listed in the news as growing. And I would like to think that we, that Carson City wouldn't want to throw away efforts that's been in the works since 2008, with great achievements in the past 3 years, great initiations, contributions, great, community. I mean, I think the last, annual report that I submitted was maybe 51 organizations that we overlapped with last year. And, you know, there's value to that. There's value to that.
I should like to think that just the logical argument of not kicking down the proverbial foundation that's set up should be enough to be, you know, persuasive. It's like this has been 11 years of work, which is all culminating in this. And at this point, when you spent this much money and spent this much time, it's just going to end. It's just going to be, reduce the amount we're going to give up on the master plan. Yeah, I should hope that the basic understanding of what that would represent in terms of, shouldn't say a waste of time, but a lack of effort on that side should be recognized.
Correct. And, you know, hopefully I've shown my...
And the urgency is growing because you're already planning 2021 events.
We are on the books to be at the airport in 2021, arts advocacy, statewide party here.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I want to take...
So if any of the other commissioners have any thoughts about how we can proceed, that would be great. And then also, before we vote for the resolution, I'd invite comments from the public before we vote on that.
Well, Terry, I do think that attending the CTA meeting is an important component. That we do have to start there. I think we do have to engage their executive director to get involved. Because I will tell you, just speaking for Concert Under the Stars, I know where people came from. They came from as far away as Canada. So where did they stay? They stayed here. You know, and shame on the CTA because they were supposed to collect that data. And so we're being hamstrung because of that. Now, with that said, I fully agree. When the infrastructure and the road improvements in the downtown all happened with the infrastructure tax, and I'm not suggesting a tax, but when it showed city investment, we were able to glean grants like the Tiger Grant, things of that nature. And that wouldn't have happened without that. The city has to show an investment. So we are going to have to work on that avenue. But I think it needs to be a combined reach across the aisle. It needs to be a city contribution. It also needs to be a tourism authority contribution because they benefit from this.
Yeah, I would like to see for the culture in their name what we've discussed our possible action plans to make this work. I would be curious to hear their thoughts on how it can work.
I suggest that we have a sit down and one-on-one, and I've talked to our chairperson about this as well. With some of the members, well, for the executive director of the Tourism Authority and also with the chair of the Tourism Authority Board.
I think that's important to do. And then from that point, we gain ground in terms of presenting our case to the city as well. I think that's important. And the thing of it is, the Department of Arts and Culture is a quality of life thing. And quality of life in Carson City is hugely important. And it does promote tourism, and it crosses the boundaries on age and ethnicity like nothing else. And it expands opportunities for artists who are citizens, too, of this community. And the NAA presentation tonight was a perfect example of that. And as far as, again, lodging not collecting the data, shame on them, because that was an agreed-upon task that they were supposed to take on. So I don't know how that fell through the cracks. But we'll have to pick up the pieces and move forward.
Right, we can't go back now.
No. Having been here, and Terry, you've been here almost as long as I have, there's a lot of groundwork that's been laid and a lot of work to get you here, Mark, and I don't want to lose a valuable asset. That's how I feel about it.
I do wonder to what degree the lack of collection of data could be used as a fulcrum if interactions with the CTA are not fruitful. Maybe going straight above and saying, well, you know, they're putting a roadblock up without having fulfilled their part of the agreement, I guess you could say. But I just wonder if that could not be used as a formulation of an argument that, hey, you know, we did our part. We've shown development.
They do collect the number of heads and beds. They just don't apportion it to how much was from the arts tourism. But heads and beds has increased consistently since we started, so they can't say that.
And that's the data
this money
is
hurting them in any way.
I have a chart, Commissioner Bugley, that shows the increase month by month of that.
And also the lodging properties, the larger ones, support and hire a lot of people who live in this community who benefit from what we do also.
Well, I've never stayed in a hotel anywhere in the United States without a piece of art hanging in that room.
I would just like to add that I think there should be a way that there's a compromise, you know, among all stakeholders, because, I mean, it really is to benefit the entire community. That's my two cents on that.
That's my standpoint on Plan B. If, like I said, things aren't fruitful at the CTA level, perhaps we could negotiate the compromise deal on the stipulation that we don't feel like justice has been served to what we've been trying to demonstrate in that regard. That, okay, just can you collect the data this time with an extension? It'll prove what we've been talking about. We have strong correlation, but if we could, you know, give us a second chance for causation at the very least.
The sunset also was not just because we were supposed to be self-supporting the department that would come into being, and the position, Mark's position, would be self-supporting in 5 years. It was more like, we don't want to throw money at something that might not be successful and then be stuck with that forever. So I think the people who were voting for it at the time would see the benefit now and say, yes, it is worth continuing.
I appreciate that perspective. I think that should be important to mention that, not being able to see the future is definitely an aspect of that design, and we know now. We know now that it works. You know now that it works. I mean, it should be clear, even from the standpoint of not having that extremely finite set of data showing direct causation shouldn't be important. Shouldn't be the number one consideration. It should be that this program is function, this department is functioning. It needs more staff.
Absolutely. I think we are ready for public comment.
Thank you. Sharon Ross, Capital City Arts Initiative. At its August meeting, the Capital City Arts Initiative Board of Directors voted unanimously to support continuation of the city's important arts and culture position. CCI urges early action to sustain this position in order to maintain continuity for a program that has proved to be successful beyond all our expectations. Further, CCAI thanks the Board of Supervisors, the Cultural Commission, and the Culture and Tourism Authority for creating the city's arts and culture position that looks to the future and enhances the local art cultural environment. This statement has everything to do with the high level of success that Mark has achieved and the good fortune we have with him working on Carson City's behalf. Thank you for pursuing this. We look forward to positive action from the Board of Supervisors. Thank you.
Thank you so
Thank
much.
Thank you, Sharon.
So are there any other commissioners that can attend Friday night? Or
Terry, I'm going to plan on it.
Okay, great. Terrific.
I have another commitment following it, so I just have to see how
maybe,
that all.
Maybe you can give public comment at the beginning of the meeting.
Yeah,
something.
That's what I'm hoping.
Okay. Terrific. Yeah. Thank you. I won't be able to attend, but I'm about to not work on Friday nights anymore, so I'll be able to attend future events on Friday.
I think that brings us to item number 8, commissioner reports and or comments.
We need to vote on the resolution.
Oh, I'm sorry. So sorry.
Okay, so do we have a vote?
Do we need to read it into the record, or do we just?
No, you don't need to. You can proceed with a vote.
I move to approve the resolution as presented.
I second.
All in favor?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes. So now we move on to Commissioner's report, agenda item number 8, Commissioner's report and or comments.
Chair Dineo is out today because of a shoulder surgery, painful shoulder surgery. But she had asked me to ask our DDA about the parameters of having a closed session. I know we shared one email earlier today about that, but maybe if the DA's office could tell us under what circumstances. And she's not here tonight to give further definition of why that she would want that, but I think it had something to do vis-a-vis a personnel disposition that I'm holding and wanting to hold a closed session for the Cultural Commission as well as some other stakeholders in the community to sort of, as you said earlier, put us all on the same launch pad to advocate for this department.
Sure. So, as a public body, you're bound by the open meeting law, which does have very specific requirements for a closed meeting. There is a personnel exception. However, it's fairly tailored. So we would need a lot more specifics about doing that at a future meeting. It would also need to be agendized, and there's specific notice requirements for that. So once we have more details from the chair, we can work as your counsel to see if we can agendize that for the next meeting.
Thank you. Any other comments?
I just want to announce that the annual Celebrity Chef Harvest Dinner that benefits the Greenhouse Project will be held this year on November 11th, which is Veterans Day, and it will be held at the Governor's Mansion in the Nevada Room. And the guest chefs will be my husband, Charlie Abad, Chris Nealon, and Colin Smith. And tickets will be $200 a person, and there are course sponsorship opportunities. Folks can reach out to me, 775-232-8626, if you're interested in tickets. All of the rest of the information will be forthcoming in the coming weeks.
Thank you.
And I just have a really quick announcement. Our beloved cuisine cultural icon, Ty Basil, is closing on Wednesday night as we know it. New ownership's coming in. The staff is leaving. But he has invited friends and lovers of Thai basil cuisine to come in at the near the end of the dinner service or have dinner on that Wednesday night and stay for some dancing afterwards. So I just wanted to share that.
So I want to let everyone know that Mile High Jazz Band has jazz and poetry at Karma Coffee tomorrow night, and that Symphony has started fall season with a whole bunch of activities, and there's a flyer that has a schedule.
Anybody else? Okay. I just want to once again commend Mark Salinas for an amazing job that he did at the Empire Elementary School in gathering all those kids and working obviously with the principal and, like you said earlier, making everyone's day, you know, those over 300 kids, they went home with a smile on their face. And to me, it was so beautiful because he actually made it very inclusive. He spoke Spanish to the little ones, which I think meant a lot to them. And I think it really sent out a very, very positive message to all the kids that, you know what, we are all a beautiful community, regardless of what language we speak. So thank you for doing that, Mark. It was amazing. And then another comment that I have is that I was very pleased with one of the events that I attended at the Brewery Arts Center, coordinated by Gina. She brought a bilingual mariachi that I had never heard of before. I had never heard of such a thing. But she brought a bilingual mariachi, which really caught the Latino community's attention. There were a lot of people there. There were a lot of my friends. And they were so pleased with the idea of actually attending a bilingual performance, and again, they felt inclusive. It was a beautiful, beautiful way to bring everyone together. And I also ran into my, you know, Caucasian friends, and they felt the same way. So it was just a beautiful feeling to know that we are all connected, and that music, art, and you know, it does bring us together. So again, it's all thanks to your hard work, Mark. So thank you for that. All right, so if there are no other comments, I believe we go to agenda item number 9 for future agenda items. Anybody?
No, just to, under number 10, I just want to update again that the Mayor's Art Awards is November 15th, not the 13th.
Oh, it is the 15th?
Yeah, Friday the 15th. And that we are moving our November meeting, which typically falls on Veterans Day, to the 25th after that Mayor's Art Awards program.
Excellent. Great. Thank you. All right. So agenda item number 11, if there are any public comments and discussion for 3-minute time limit. And I see none. So agenda item number 12, for possible action to adjourn. All right.
I'll second that.
Excellent. Thank you very much, everyone.
Thank you, everyone.